The European Medicines Agency has said the benefits of the Johnson & Johnson COVID-19 vaccine outweigh the risks. The use of the one-dose vaccine was halted by US regulators last week after a small number of blood clots were reported and the manufacturer had delayed rollout across Europe. The EMA said its safety committee concluded that a warning about unusual blood clots with low blood platelets should be added to the vaccine's labels. Here, NIAC will be examining the findings before making a recommendation to the Deputy Chief Medical Officer. I'm joined by Dr. Dennis O'Keefe. He's a consultant haematologist at University Hospital Limerick. Dr. O'Keefe, good morning.
Good morning.
So what do we know so far? What's the data telling us about any possible links between the Johnson & Johnson vaccine now and these rare clotting events, and indeed why these events might occur?
Well, I guess firstly, the data from the United States sets out that there have been 8 cases in 7.5 million people who have been given the vaccine, which makes it, the conclusion is about 1 in a million people can be affected by this. And based on that, the risk is less than the risk associated with AstraZeneca. But interestingly, the actual causation and the syndrome of clotting that's been caused by this seems to be almost exactly the same that's associated by AstraZeneca. So it does look like it's probably the same mechanism that's triggering it.
And is it also the same in that it's presenting in mostly women under the age of 60?
Correct. It looks like it's exactly the same. I mean, obviously, the number of cases thus far has been much smaller because it's been given to a much smaller number of people, relatively speaking, and the number of cases is smaller. But you're absolutely correct. The group that's been primarily affected is mostly women under the age of 60.
We're told that this particular type of clotting event is extremely rare. In what circumstances would you see clotting of this nature in the course of your work?
Yeah, so it is extremely rare. We typically see that the two types which are extremely rare are those which affect the brain, what we call a cerebral sinus thrombosis, and this we see very rarely associated with pregnancy and the combined oral contraceptive pill. In the Midwest here in Limerick, we would see about 1 to 2 cases per year. And the other type, which is what we call splanchnic, which affects the veins within the around the stomach and abdomen, again, we would see about 3 to 4 cases per year associated with very rare other clotting disorders.
And again, generally presenting in women in younger age groups?
No, this is very different, and the mechanism is clearly very different. So the mechanism we think is much more typical of a syndrome that we typically see with heparin. And of course, heparin has been used for many years for blood thinning treatment. So it's primarily associated with heparin, and again, extremely rare, that it triggers an immune response that causes clotting. So the mechanism is very, very different and much more typical of that condition called HITS.
And is it always treatable? Talk us, I think it's worthwhile going through the symptoms that present again.
Yes, I mean, certainly it looks like as cases have, as a number of cases have happened and the knowledge has spread amongst our community who treat clots, it's become clear that in the majority of people it is treatable, and that treatment combines the treatment we treat with what's called antibodies or immunoglobulin, which is taken from blood donors, in combination with blood thinning treatment, and currently at the moment we avoid heparin because of the possibility of the two interacting. So it is a treatable condition. And if you look at the American cases, of the 8 cases, 1 person died. And so 7 people were successfully treated. So it is important to state that.
The question now, of course, is does this country proceed with the use of the Johnson & Johnson one-dose vaccine? And there's a lot of pluses for a one-dose delivery. Or do we confine it to the age group that we have already categorized the AstraZeneca for? What's your own view?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, these are very difficult questions, and NIAC have to weigh up the very, very small risk versus the very significant risk of COVID and, of course, the access to other vaccines. So I think, still on balance, that based upon the vaccines available to us, that, you know, that it's likely they're going to recommend its use, possibly with an age limit, that it should be given above a certain age. But of course, it very much depends. COVID is still in the community. It's still causing the death, unfortunately, of people. And if we don't have you know, significant access to the Moderna and Pfizer vaccines, then it still makes a great deal of sense to use the Johnson & Johnson for, as you say, the reason that it's a one-shot dose.
That's the calculation, though, isn't it, that has to be made? And I know that medical professionals and scientists have used that expression time and time again, proceeding with an abundance of caution.
Yeah, it is, and of course they're very difficult decisions, and of course they have to change as the scientific evidence comes out. But I think NIAC have done as good a possible job as they can do with the evidence available, weighing up once again how much vaccine do you have in terms of the choices, how common is COVID currently in the community, and how extremely rare these complications are. And I think that based on that, it's likely they will recommend the use of this vaccine over the coming weeks, but they'll do it with the best and most cautious advice.
Dr. Dennis O'Keefe, thank you for your time this morning.